As the two spies returned from Jericho that Joshua sent out, as we looked at last Sunday, to scope out the land, Joshua began immediately making preparations to cross over the Jordan and begin claiming the land that God had promised them. And any Bible student understands that to this point in our history of the Bible, our study of the Israelite nation, that this had been a long time coming. All the way back in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, particularly verse number 7, God promised Abraham that to his offspring he would give this precise land. And now they are on the verge of fulfilling that promise. And from that moment in Genesis chapter 12, even continuing forward onto the rest of this journey that Israel had will take, this whole journey has been a journey of faith. That's why we often refer to in Hebrews chapter 11 as the hall of faith, because Hebrews 11 summarizes for us this journey by multiple generations of Israelites, this journey of faith as we have come to know it. In fact, it's in that chapter of Hebrews chapter 11 in verse number 6 where the writer tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's a good reminder that even to this day, that without journeying through this life, a life of faith, it is impossible for us to please the Lord. Multiple times in the scriptures, God tells us that the just, that is the righteous, we who call upon the name of the Lord, we who profess to be believers in him, the just shall live by faith. And the summary of all of that, from the days of Israel to the moments in which you and I live today, need to be reminded on a regular basis that the Christian life is indeed a faith life. The life that you and I live, we live it by faith. We are on a journey that is day by day, a journey of faith. And so it has been for the children of Israel. And they're getting ready to see one of these faithful moments in their life come to fruition. That's the emphasis of chapters 3 and 4. By faith, they are in the process of crossing the Jordan to begin possessing the land that God had promised them. And the events of these two chapters teach us of the never-changing principles of the faith life. Whether it's the faith life lived by the children of Israel, as we study the Old Testament, the faith life lived by those great Christian leaders in the New Testament, or the faith life that you carry out today, these principles remain the same. And that's what I want us to gather in great practical application tonight. Four things that I want you to write down about the faith life this evening. The first one, number one, has to do with the message of chapter 3. And the message is this. Here's the statement. We must follow the word of God in order to enjoy the presence of God. We're talking about the faith life. And in order to live the faith life, we've got to understand the message here of chapter 3. That we must follow the word of God in order to enjoy the presence of God. This is the first principle of the faith life. And it's the centerpiece of these first 13 verses in Joshua chapter 3, because he's focusing here on the presence of God. And the presence of God is described to us with this piece of furniture that God had given the children of Israel. We know it as the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God. This piece of furniture that was from the tabernacle. It was the throne of God for Israel. It was the place where his glory dwelt, where his presence rested. And what God does to Joshua and the children of Israel here in chapter 3 is he gives them clear instructions. Number one, the Levites, the priest, they are to take up the Ark of the Covenant. That's step number one. Step number two is they need to have the people to consecrate themselves. He mentions that in verse number 5. Look at it. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord is going to do wonders among you. He's saying, prepare yourself for the mighty moving of God. Prepare yourselves to see the presence of God do wonders in your midst. And so there's two steps so far. There's three altogether. Number one, the Levites take up the Ark of the Covenant. Number two, the people are to sanctify, to consecrate, to cleanse themselves. Step number three is this. God says, follow my word and make your way to the brink of the Jordan River. All right? So here they are encamped in Shittim. They sent the two spies to Jericho. They come back with a great report. Joshua waits 2 or 3 days. God comes to him and says, Joshua, this is what you're going to do. Get the Ark of the Covenant, cleanse the people, and start making your way to the Jordan River. You see, God had already planned for a miracle to happen. Before it ever happens, before they ever get to the brink of the Jordan, he says in verse number 5, tomorrow the Lord is going to do wonders among you. God's going to do a miracle for you. But that miracle, performed by the presence of God, was totally contingent upon their obedience to God. And this is the message, that the faith life begins and ends with God's word. When the Bible says the just shall live by faith, he's saying that the just shall live by faith in the word of God, by obedience to the word of God. We are following the truth of God's word because there is no miracle. And there are no moments of God's moving presence in our lives unless we are following God's word. And as his presence will go before Israel and prepare the way for them, their focus must be on obeying his instructions. Joshua had no business, and I'm glad that he didn't do this. He had no business to say, well, God, that's nice, but don't you think we ought to plan this thing out a little better? Don't you think we ought to go around Jordan? Don't you think there's some other things that we need to do? No. God comes to Joshua by his word, and Joshua, by faith in his word, does exactly what needs to be done in order for God to provide the way for Israel. That's the first principle. Even to your life today and my life as we live the faith life, if we're going to enjoy the presence of God, it cannot happen unless we follow the word of God. Mark it down. Neglect the Bible, then live your life without his presence. Follow the Bible, then understand what it means to live your life in the presence of God. That's the emphasis. The Ark of God. They were to follow it. They were to do exactly what God has leading them to do. And so that's the first principle. We must follow the word of God in order to enjoy the presence of God. There's a second thing here. The message is follow the word of God to enjoy the presence of God. Number two, the miracle. The miracle. And here's the miracle. It's a statement that's simple and coined for us in the scriptures. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. So follow with me the sequence. We're talking about the faith life, how to live the faith life, how to live the Christian life, journeying by faith. Well, the first thing we need to do is follow the word of God in order to enjoy the presence of God. And as we are following the word of God, we are to secondly, by faith, believe that we serve a God who can do all things. So here's what God said he will do. Verses 14 through 17. And the feet of the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant touch the water. God has promised that he will open the river and he will provide a way of crossing. And then when you begin to read verses 14 all the way down, you see the people obeying it. Now, I don't think we can underestimate the courageous faith of Joshua and these leaders in this moment for a couple of reasons. One, this was flood season for this particular time in this land. And the Bible mentions it in verse number 15. Look at it there in the parenthetical statement at the end of verse 15 where it says, the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. So for this particular season, the Jordan is flooded. The rivers overflowing, the banks most likely had increased from about 100 feet in width to some believe even a mile wide during these times. And because of that, there are many things to consider. As they are journeying to the banks of the River Jordan, the ground is not so solid due to the overflow of the river. There's also the potential for strong currents to sweep the people away. There's all sorts of difficult obstacles that would not be in the normal path as you would journey down the Jordan River. So we look at this at the outset and we think, oh, what's the big deal? You get the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, great. Walk down to the River Jordan. I mean, what's the big deal about this? Well, the big deal is the obstacles that are in front of them. This took a great deal of faith. No wonder God said in chapter one, before all of this happens, Joshua, you've got to be strong and very courageous. Because the faith life is not an easy life. And there's going to be some obstacles ahead, and there's going to be some things that your life's going to encounter that you haven't encountered before. There's going to be some things that you're going to have to go through that Moses didn't even have to go through. And so right from the very beginning, be strong and be courageous. And now he's faced with one of those courageous moments. Do I go forward in faith, believing God can do the impossible? Or do I sit back and try to reason in my mind how this is all going to work out? But isn't this how the Lord works? Isn't this exactly how God grows our faith? Absolutely. You see, the greater obstacles that our faith encounters, the greater opportunities we have to see the victories of God. That's very important. I'll say it again. The greater obstacles that our faith encounters, the greater opportunities we have to see the victories of God. And we see the victories of God by trusting him, by obeying him. But here's the thing. Until we are willing to step out on faith and get our feet wet, so to speak, we're not likely to make much progress forward in the possibilities that God could do for us. Maybe tonight some of us need to quit emphasizing theologically so much about faith and the impossibilities of God and the power that he has and start taking that theological position and putting it into practice and get our feet wet and step out on faith and really determine whether or not we believe what we say we believe. That's what they had to do. Go to the brink of the water and just get your feet wet a little bit. I was studying this passage. Warren Wiersbe said of this particular series of verses, he said, we never stand still in the Christian life. We either move forward in faith or we go backward in unbelief. But we never stand still. Think about that. We either go forward in faith or we go backward in unbelief. But we never stand still. This took a lot of faith and a lot of courage. Believing as they were carrying the ark and leading the people that by the time they got there, that God indeed was going to do the miracle. And Joshua believed that with God, all things are possible. Verse 14 through 17 unveils what happened. We read it a moment ago. I'm not going to go back and reread it again, but the priests moved forward with the Ark of the Covenant. The nation followed, and as soon as their feet touched the water formed a wall. Now, that's what it means by the heap, all right? That this wall begins to form, allowing everyone to cross over the Jordan River onto dry land. The picture is very much like the children of Israel when Moses was leading them through the Red Sea, except this time the nature of the leadership was different. You remember back at the Red Sea, it was Moses holding up the rod, and as he held up the rod, the waters split and the people went forward. This time the Ark of the Covenant was leading the whole way. And as the Ark of the Covenant led, each step just imagine this scene. It's just something that you would see in some type of Hollywood movie, yet this is reality. I mean, each step they would take toward the water, more and more waters would form this wall, and they would just walk on dry land. And then it says in verses 16 and 17 that when they got to the middle of the Jordan, they were to stand there and they were to hold the ark of God. And as they got to the middle, the waters would split the rest of the way. And as long as they kept the ark of God, the presence of God, right in the middle of their obstacle, then God would prepare the way until everyone has crossed over onto dry land. You see, it's a great symbol that even in the midst of your obstacles, the presence of God can be seen right in the middle of it all. And that's what they were doing. It was a reminder to the children of Israel, this is not Joshua doing this, this is God doing this. And that the same God who empowered Moses to do great things is the same God that's going to lead Joshua to do the same. And right there in the middle of it, they're holding the ark. The waters have split. The people are passing. Why? Because God, with him, all things are possible. God will perform the miracle. That's the faith life. The faith life. The faith life begins by following the word of God so that we can enjoy the presence of God. And as we're enjoying the presence of God, the faith life believes that God can do anything, even when it seems impossible to us. Do you remember that old hymn? God, any rivers you think are uncrossable. God, any mountains you can't tunnel through. God specializes in things thought impossible. He does what others cannot do. That's the faith life. And perhaps that Jordan is standing in front of you tonight. That obstacle, whatever it may be. The obstacle of your future, the obstacle of your health, the obstacle of your marriage, the obstacle of whatever it may be, fill in the blank, the obstacle, finances, fill in, it's there. God's saying, listen, just follow my word, stay in my presence, I promise. If you just step out on faith, get your feet a little bit wet. Don't be fearful. Don't be afraid. Don't slide back. No. Go forward. Step in the water and watch. And watch me do the impossible in your life. That's the faith life. The message, follow the word of God. Enjoy the presence of God. The miracle, with God all things are possible. Number three, write down this. The memorial. The memorial is this. We're talking about the faith life. Number three, here's the statement. Constantly remind yourself. Constantly remind yourself of the victories God has won in your life. We're talking about the faith life. So, in order to enjoy the presence of God, I need to follow the word of God. I have to believe as I'm enjoying the presence of God that with God all things are possible. And then when God does the impossible in my life, I need to constantly remind myself of those victories that God has won. That's chapter 4. In fact, that's chapter 4 in its entirety. As soon as Joshua led the children of Israel in the crossing of the Jordan, he leads the people in a purposeful memorial so that they would never forget God's victory for them. Here's how it worked. We read it a moment ago in the first 7 verses of chapter 4. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan. You say, why? Is there some symbolism in there? I don't know. The 12 stones represent the 12 tribes, the entire nation. Why from the middle of the Jordan? I'm not so sure. It's just what God told them to do. They were to go in the middle of the river. They were to take 12 stones. He's even pretty clear about how they were to carry it. These are large stones. These are not pebbles. These are large stones. They're carrying it on their shoulder. And they're erecting an altar. They're building a memorial right in the middle where the priest stood with the Ark of the Covenant. And so God instructs them to do this, one from every tribe. The whole nation was included. And the purpose was the stones were going to serve as a reminder, a memorial to their children to remember God's power and to remember God's goodness and to never forget the miracle as he led them through the crossing of the Jordan River. Now look at verse number 6. We'll read it again. It's very clear. Verse 6, he says, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, that means down the road, your children are going to say, hey, what's up with these stones? What's the big deal about the stones? Then he says in verse 7, here's what you're going to tell them. that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. A reminder of what God did for us. You see, this is key. Because to an unbeliever, it was just another pile of rocks. You get what I'm saying? To those outside the nation of Israel, it's just a pile of rocks. But to those inside the nation, to the believers who had experienced God's power in their life, it was a constant reminder that God is always working on their behalf. Always working. Just as he did for their fathers in the previous generation, parting the waters of the Red Sea, sending the 10 plagues, redeeming them out of Exodus, out of Egypt, of how God worked in their lives. Then God was going to continue to provide for them, and they needed to pass those victories on to their children. Constant reminder. Look again at verse 20. And these 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgad. He's speaking to the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in the time to come, what's up with these stones? Then ye shall say to your children, Israel came over Jordan onto dry land. The Lord your God, he dried it up. He did a miracle just like he did at the Red Sea. He did it here at Jordan. And here's the key, verse 24. All the people of the earth will know the hand of God, that it is mighty, so that they will fear the Lord forever. Remember Jordan. Remember the Red Sea. That pile of rocks to everybody else is a reminder. Look what God did for us. Remembering is a part of life. We talked about that this morning. Most of us need reminders. But in another look and differentiating what we talked about this morning, we remember and we celebrate our birthdays. We remember and we celebrate anniversaries, noteworthy events, special occasions. We even do memorials and ceremonies to remember important moments in history. We've got them on our calendar. When it comes to our spiritual memories, they are sadly very short. Too often we forget those moments in our life when God has brought a blessing and a victory. And the point of all of this, of what God is doing in chapter 4, is that in this faith life we live, we need to revisit the goodness of God. And we need to recall often all that he has done for us. When Jesus gave the ordinances to the church, you remember what he said to the disciples? It rings forth in our hearts even to this day as we practice the Lord's Supper next week. He said what? Do this in remembrance of me. Why? Because there's things that we need to do to remember the goodness of God. Do you have any memorials in your life? Do you have any piles of rocks to everybody else, but to you, that was the moment when God brought healing. That was the place where God redeemed. That was the point in time where God brought a victory in my life. The bottom line is, the more we recall his character and the more we remember his goodness and his grace, the more we will trust our future to his purposes. Which leads me to the final point. And the fourth M here is, not only do we see the message and the miracle and the memorial, but the fourth thing here is the momentum. The momentum. Remember, we're talking about the faith life. Let's rehearse. The faith life, we must follow the word of God and in order to enjoy the presence of God. In the faith life, we have to believe that with God, all things are possible and that he can do the impossible. In this faith life, it is good for us to constantly remind ourselves of the victories of our past. The fourth statement, in this faith life, allow God's past provisions to propel you forward to future victories. allow God's past provisions to propel you forward to future victories. Look at it in verse number 1 of chapter 5. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, that means everybody around that place where God brought them through, they heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until they were all passed over. And what happened to them? Their hearts melted. The enemy wasn't sitting back and saying, man, what a God, did you see that? No, they said, we're in trouble. This ain't good. What are we going to do? We've heard about this group. We've heard about this people. We heard about what God's done for their past leader, Moses. But look at him now. He's doing it again. And look at the last part of verse 1. Neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. I love this verse. They knew they were in trouble. Which, by the way, the Canaanites were already afraid. We read about that all the way back in Joshua chapter 2. I don't have time to take you there because the storm is a-coming. But perhaps you write down Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. The Canaanites, which is the people of Jericho, they're already afraid. But now, in chapter 5, they are totally terrified. They are demoralized by the fact that they are coming for us. And things don't look good. This is the momentum. And what great momentum Joshua and the children of Israel had. God had provided. And that provision is going to move them forward to future victories. You know what it's like to have a victory in your life. Wow. That was awesome. God did that. God brought us through that. And when God brings a victory in your life, man, you think you can do anything for God. Did you imagine that's how the children of Israel are feeling at that moment? Hey, none of them but Joshua were there at the crossing of the Red Sea. That whole generation was gone. They weren't there to see it. They had only heard about the Red Sea. And now, as they're walking through that wall with the Ark of the Covenant in the middle, I am sure, man, you know, I heard Dad talk about that. I never thought we'd experience this. Woo, we're going to get this land. This is awesome. They weren't quite aware of the fact that there were more battles to fight. That wasn't in their mind. They had all the momentum. Why? Because of the great things God had done for them. It only propelled them forward to great things that he would continue to do for them. That's the faith life. It was for them, and so it is for us. Whatever may be staring you in the face today, whatever looks bleak, whatever looks difficult, whatever seems completely impossible, just remember what God has done for you. And let the provisions of your past propel you forward in faith, trusting God. This is the faith life. When God says the just shall live by faith, when he says without faith, it's impossible to please him, when we really say in our hearts, one day at a time, what does that mean? Just tomorrow morning on Monday, we're going to get up and we're going to follow the word of God. And people ask me a lot, preachers, what's your vision? What's your plan? 5-year, 10-year, 15-year old goal? I don't know. I just want to survive tomorrow. I just want to get through another week. That's faith, isn't it? I got plans. My calendar's all full. I've got everything full from weeks ahead. I mean, there's just a lot going on. But the truth of the matter is, behind all of that every day, we don't know what's going to happen. Just steps of faith. Steps of faith. But if we're going to enjoy the presence of God as he has made himself available to us, it does not happen unless we're taking those steps of faith by following his word. Pastor, I'm trying. Trying to live this faith life, trying to obey what he's telling me to do. I enjoy the presence of God. I'm thankful that he lives in my life and surrounds me with his daily presence. But you just don't know about that Jordan in front of me. Friend, the faith life is believing that with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. That marriage that you think cannot be healed, that child that you think's not going to get saved, that financial crisis you think you can't hurdle, that cancer that's in your body, I mean, whatever it is, name it, we all have obstacles, but the greater the obstacle, remember, the greater the opportunity for victory. That's the faith life. You can't walk out this door with your head hung low thinking that your God has let you down. No, you walk out this door with your head tilted high knowing that my God can do anything. That's the faith life. We got to believe that. And when he does it, don't forget about it. Put that stone of remembrance in your life. My dad to this day has a rock of coal beside the front doorsteps of his home. He carried it from West Virginia to North Carolina. He carried it to Tennessee when he was there, and he carried it back to North Carolina when he came back home. That rock of coal, he often tells us, and I've heard him tell my kids, that reminds me of where God brought me from. I was a coal miner living in the world when God redeemed me by his grace. As you've heard his testimony, bingo holler. And then he says, when I look at my life and my family and my ministry, I'm reminded every time I look at that lump of coal, what God has done for me. I'm not saying you have to put a lump of coal in your driveway. Perhaps those of us from North Carolina would throw some tobacco in the driveway to remind us where God has brought us from. Those of you from New York, we'd rather you not put anything out, right? Just, our friends from New York, the Bronx, they would have put out knives and guns and all that good stuff. Listen, that's not the point. The point is not for you to go makeshift some memorial. You understand the point, don't you? The point is don't forget. Have these memorials set up in your life where you're not only reminding yourself of where God has brought you from, but that you can point your children to those moments and your grandchildren and tell them of the victories that God has won in your life. And then when that Jordan is staring you in the face and you go from one victory to another one, and it seems like, when is this ever going to let up? I mean, there's the Canaanites. There's the Amorites. I mean, I thought we'd had it by now. Just remember what God has done. And let what he has done propel you forward with what he is going to do for his glory and for our good. That's the faith life. There's no magic formula. I don't need to pass out different books to you to read by different authors so that you can grasp all that faith is. It's just getting up one day at a time, trusting God, believing he can do the impossible, and never forgetting his grace in your life. Let's walk. Let's walk together. Let's take this journey following the Ark of the Covenant, basking in his presence, watching him split the Jordans in our life. The faith life.